City Talk 105.9. Bloke Talk with Duncan Barks.
This is a man's world. But it would be nothing.
It is City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool, and it's another edition of a Bloke Talk at the weekend here at City Talk. This is where we do this very radical thing in broadcasting. We have three blokes in the studio. We turn the microphones on and we talk. It's great, isn't it? And we're here for the next, 60 minutes here at City Talk 105.9. My name's Duncan. Thank you very much for tuning in. To my immediate left, this weekend, we have Craig. Do you know Craig? I don't even know your surname. What's your surname?
Alan.
Craig Allen, who now works in mobile telecommunications, which sounds very exciting. So I need to find out more about that. But also, you used to be the assistant manager of the View nightclub in Frodsham. Have I got that right?
Yeah, that's right, in Frodsham, yeah.
Good. And that's where you met the reprobate to my far left, who is Roy Basnett. Now, you see, I did a radio show on this station 9 through until midday, weekday mornings. And, you know, I go out of my way because people call it the overnight show. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I call it the early morning show.
I can dig that.
Do you know what I mean?
Do you know what I found quite significant then is when you looked at me and said, to my far left?
Yeah.
Are you talking about some kind of political leaning?
Well, I don't know. Are you a communist? Should we talk about this? Are you a what are you, a Marxist? Get out.
He's got a red band on.
Yeah. So no. These are the blokes, and we're here for the next 60 minutes, and I've got a funny feeling this could go anywhere. Because you two know each other in previous lives, don't you?
Oh,
well, not in a Derek Okora kind of way, but in a kind of like dodgy nightclub kind of way, don't you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was always.
Phoenix Nightfall. Fashion.
I was always struck, as I'm sure you probably are yourself, Duncan, by Craig's uncanny resemblance to Ray Quinn.
I don't look like Ray Quinn. I look like Ray Quinn.
You
if
look
Ray
like
Quinn's
Ray.
Let himself go.
Yeah, Ray Quinn's a little lad. Was he Britain's Got Talent or the X Factor? Because I couldn't care less. I can't remember.
Yeah, I couldn't care less.
So,
he was the X Factor.
Yeah, and well, you never see him in the same place together.
No. Well, you'd know if he was in the same place because there wouldn't be much place left. Sorry, I don't want to get down this route.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Right. Listen, we've got to put this into perspective because, you know, Craig's a big fella. I'm a big fella. Mm. Roy's got no hair. And that's kind of where we're at, really.
That's funny. A bit personal.
You were talking about his size.
Right, OK, fair enough.
It's a bit harsh, isn't it?
Gloves are off on this one then, aren't they? Yeah.
So that's where we're going. All right, Craig, what was the beginning of Craig Allen's life then? Have you been a local lad all your life?
Yeah, I've lived in Runcorn and Frodsham all my life, really, not far. Family originally from Liverpool.
Yeah.
I met Roy when I was working in Frodsham because that's where the club is that I used to work at, and he used to DJ up there.
Well, reputedly.
Reputedly, if you could call it DJ.
This will be the third show where we've had people who used to do kind of like, were you a mobile jock?
That's how it started off.
Yeah. This will be the third week we've had mobile jocks. And I'm looking at Jonathan, who produces it, because last weekend we had a guy called Rob, and we also had Rick Vaughan from Radio City. So we compared 17 singles and traffic light box sets.
God, you should have put me on with him.
And rope lights. Well, you know, Rick's an interesting fella because he's like, he's part of the Terracotta Army, isn't he, in Liverpool? He's orange. He's permanently orange.
Permatan.
which is a bit bizarre. And anyway, a couple of weeks ago before that, I can't even remember who we had in. But what? Who? Pez Tellett, who of course does the Sunday night thing on Radio City. And he taught Gary the Cabbie, who was also a guest, how to do the old scratching and the mixing and stuff. So
Rick, I've known Rick for a number of years, and he's come up with some great lines.
Yeah.
And Rick is one of these people, if he was a double glazing salesman, man, he would be, he could sell it to Crystal Palace.
Yeah, he's
you know
good,
I mean?
Isn't he?
Oh, he's brilliant. But I always remember the comment that he was asked to do a nightclub somewhere once, and he said, look, we're struggling with the trade at the moment. It was a boat in a certain part of the world. Won't say where it is.
Yeah.
And they said, look, do you think you'd be able to bring a lot of trade into this boat nightclub?
Yeah, yeah.
And Vaughan's comment was, put it this way, you're going to need another boat. that nightclub's actually shut down now.
Really?
I started in the old mobile trade.
A very
honourable profession, I might add.
Yeah.
You know.
And just so we can put it into context, what kind of year are we talking here?
Me?
Because
last
week on this show, we started going through the songs in people's box of records that were going to be guaranteed floor fillers. That's how much detail we got. So what are we talking for you?
Guaranteed floor filler.
85, 86?
It predates that, actually. I had a false start. I started originally in 1982.
Yeah.
And then, unfortunately for me,
before I was born,
which was before you were born, and the problem I had is that I wasn't driving at the time, so I relied on the transportation of my equipment in the back of me brother's Ford Capri.
Yeah,
right.
It must be long the Capri because their boots they slope down, don't they? So you have to drive with the boot open.
Yeah, it was. Well, it was a question. I sat on my equipment in the front seat as well.
Yeah.
You know. So, and then I did it, and then kind of that worked against me. Logistically, it wasn't working. So then there was a brief period, and I came back into it, 89, and I've been here ever since.
Yeah. Yeah. Is he any good, Craig, when he's doing that kind of wiki-wah stuff behind the decks?
He's all right.
I'm not interested, because the patter is a no-brainer, because of course he's good at that, but is he good with a kind of, like, you know...
Yeah, he was. He's entertaining. You just got to keep the drinks cupboard locked. Keep the drinks cupboard locked and you're all right.
Well, borderline alcoholic here. Is that
borderline.
Is it really?
Yeah,
well, let's talk about that, because we were talking in the office the other day. Have you heard these adverts that have been going out about the amount of units you have? They're all these, these public information things, and they sort of like go, hello, mate, lovely, two units, that'll be great.
And then
you know, the bloke sort of like meets someone else who goes, yeah, I've got time for another four units. And, you know, he gets home and his wife's made a curry. Nice bottle of 10 units there, my buddy, and all this. Well, I listen to it, and frankly, it's because I don't recognise it. And because,
nobody does.
Well, what is it? Because I kind of like, most nights I'll have a couple of pints.
Yeah.
And if you actually look at the statistics, I'm exceeding my weekly limit, and therefore I'm borderline alcoholic. It's got to be rubbish, hasn't it?
Well, I'd say, I mean, you want to score, Craig. We like to have a beer. A unit for me is a bottle.
Yeah.
That's it, regardless of its size. Well, it's a unit.
A small glass of wine or a shot is one unit, I think.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think if you ask anybody, there's very rarely people who'd stick to the measures of units.
I don't know anyone who does. That's the thing. You know, and then you look at other countries like France or Spain, you know, and I've got people who live out there, and kind of like, you know, midday, it's like, let's go and have lunch, which is, you know, it'll be a salad, it'll be an omelette, it'll be a bit of pate and a bottle of rosé, right? Then it'll be a couple of hours kip, working through until about 9, 10 o'clock at night, and then it's pretty much the same meal again, except with a bit of grilled meat.
Yeah.
You know, and then they're putting away two bottles of wine, you know, most days. And you look at the Mediterranean lifestyle, and you look at... Yeah. You know,
they're living for years.
They're living for years, and they're still puffing away on the jeton fags at the same time.
Oh, I like
the 2 hours kit business as well.
Yeah.
How
do we get on to booze? Well, are you both big drinkers?
Not really, no.
You're not a drinker at all?
I drink, don't get me wrong.
Yeah. But you see, one man's big drinking definition is different from someone else's.
Yeah, certainly from Oliver Reed's anyway.
Yeah. Have you seen, I was on YouTube the other day, you know Oliver Reed used to do a thing called After Dark on Channel 4? Do you remember those?
Is that when he got really hammered?
Well, they used to do these debates, and they'd get like various academics and 9 times out of 10 lesbians, and then they'd invite Oliver Reed because they thought it'd be quite entertaining. And it was on. And you can watch all of them on YouTube. And on one of them, and I can quote this. I can quote this because it did actually happen. You know, he just staggers in with his bottle, and he goes up to this lesbian. He says, "Would you like to see my? It's a lovely." And that's what he said. And you know, it's kind of, you can watch him, you just think, where is the next Oliver Reed coming from? He's too busy looking at the billboards going, only two units a night.
Yeah,
that's the
problem.
They're all in rehab. Yeah. They didn't have rehab then, did they? Everyone hides in rehab.
Yeah. Anyway, going back to the question, was he a good bloke behind the old decks?
Oh, yeah, definitely. He's got multiple personalities as well.
Is he schizophrenic?
In a similar fashion, he's got costumes. Different.
Don't we all?
What kind of costumes have you got, Roy?
He's got various
characters. You don't do this anymore, do you? So no, this is a secret from the past.
Yeah, I mean, I used to have this alter ego character, which we spoke about before, this Tommy Sex Geezer that I used to do. And certainly since, like, you know, I progressed into the sophisticated world of talk radio, I haven't done it as much. But, you know, if the price is right, then the leotard is donned.
So you used to do that when you were at this nightclub?
Yeah, we used to have moments. I mean, predominantly, you know, I used to love it. It was one of the nicest periods of work I ever had because, I mean, it wasn't just a question of I'd go in there and get a drink. I'd serve myself and anybody else who wanted serving, really.
He'd walk behind the bar without my permission. He'd walk behind the bar and what are you doing? Nothing. Well, come on, go off. It was entertaining, so we let him off.
Yeah. He used to walk off with booze, did he?
He used to walk behind, help himself, and walk off.
It worked. Well, I didn't want an inconvenience yet.
No, absolutely. I mean...
How many DJs would have thought about, I can't be putting the bar staff out, you know, at busy times? All right, not necessarily at busy times, but, I mean, I just felt as though it was, you know, helping you out.
Buffet style.
Yeah. But it was a great nightclub, that. It was a very laid-back kind of
atmosphere. Well, let's talk about it. Is the view still going?
Not as much. No. I think it's only open every now and again. I don't work there anymore.
No. What kind of club is it?
It was a heritage nightclub, wasn't it? It was one of those clubs that, you know, back in the 1970s and 80s when it was the, you know, you go and watch Jimmy James and the Vagabonds and people like
They'd be there.
Chicken in the Basket and all that kind of stuff. Coach trips there. Yeah. And that was before the kind of, like everything else, before the nightclub industry became like B&Q'd, if you like, and then turned in, instead of having a little thing, why have a little thing when you can have a super club and that kind of what have you.
And before the bars all started getting DJs in
as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And it had that heritage in it, like many clubs do. And then, you know, I don't think it was any kind of reckless management decision that's kind of affected the trade. Yeah. It's just down to the market, the climate, the culture of drinking's changed. And like what you just said there, it's the bars really, isn't it?
I mean, with that, I think it was a predominantly cabaret club until the mid-90s when the dance sort of scene really took off everywhere, and then it turned into like a dance club with various nights. I mean, I've seen pictures, obviously, all that when it was cabaret and they had all the old famous comedians, etc. That was all before my time. But when I worked up there, I've seen some of the photographs that was there, and there was some really famous people, even the Beatles in when they were starting out were there.
Yeah, so. It's funny how it's changed, isn't it, the club scene? I mean, I remember when I was growing up, and this was on the south coast of England in a place called Worthing, there was a club that everyone used to go to. It was called the Carioca. And the Carioca was, you know, and you mentioned about the size, you know, now you have these kind of like, you know, I mean, again, from, you know, the part of the country that I've come from, you know, there was the big chains called Icon and Diva.
Oh, yeah.
You know, which are literally warehouses.
Yeah.
You know, massive clubs. Carioca, right? You'd have this door on a side street, a double door, and it would open up, and there'd be a couple of bouncers there.
Yeah.
There'd be a little booth at the bottom of the stairs, and you'd hand over your coat or whatever, and your fiver to get in, and you'd go up the staircase. And you get to the top, and, you know, there would literally be one room, and along one side of it, or most of it, there would be a bar, there'd be some booths down the other, and then kind of like the main bit would be a dance floor.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the corner, there'd be a guy on a raised platform spitting his 45s, you know, his Earth, Wind and Fire, and that would be what he was. But it was an institution in Worthing. It was the place that everyone went to on a Friday and Saturday night. And it was, you know, Leo Sayer. Right,
yeah, not personally, but I know
Leo Sayer did a song called...
He's just closed a load of his shops down in Liverpool, hasn't he?
Very good. He did a song called Moonlighting, okay, which was all about, and the Carioca nightclub gets mentioned in there because Leo Sayer grew up in Worthing, you know, and everyone went, oh yeah, the Carioca, you know, and it's one of those things. I mention that because I think it's similar to The View, you know, it's something that's been there for years, and a lot of people's kind of like growing up period or illegal drinking times, you know, it's very much
illegal
part
drinking
of that.
Times. You mean people actually went into nightclubs before the age of 18?
Yeah, but they had to stop at 2 in the morning. This is something else we were talking about last week on this show. It's like the licensing hours. You know, can you imagine that? I now cannot remember what it was like to have to stop drinking at 11 at night or go to a club and stop at 2, because now it's all changed and it is 24 hour.
I don't know. I'm still a traditionalist, me. I still like going out at 5 o'clock and coming home at 5 o'clock the following day. But I prefer to go out early. I mean, I did last week because I went into Liverpool last week. We went at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and we had a great time. I like drinking
in
the day.
That's far too early for me. I like going out at night. 2 o'clock in the afternoon?
You're a different culture.
Well, what's good about drinking in at that time, and I like lunchtime drinking and continuing, is because you can just watch everyone else at work. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
going back to work.
Yeah.
And you get that perverse kick of going, I'm on my like, fourth bottle, and there you are going back to work.
You
know, which I think is a good thing. Listen, we need to pause and come back. It is Bloke Talk. It's the weekend. It's City Talk 105.9. Duncan's here. That's me. I've got Craig. I've got Roy. And it is Bloke Talk for the weekend here at City Talk.
Bloke Talk with Duncan Barks. City Talk 105.9.
It is Bloke Talk at the weekend here at City Talk. I'm Duncan. Craig is here. He used to be the assistant manager of the View nightclub in Frodsham. You might have been there at the height of its popularity, and if you were, you would have seen Roy Basnett doing his stuff behind the wheels of steel, because that's the makeup of Bloke Talk for this weekend. I want to continue talking about this because I'm getting this feeling that The View is kind of like a bit of an institution, and that there are many a story that could be told about The View. I mean, Craig, when did you actually start working there?
2001. Well, I started off as a cloakroom assistant, and then just progressed, you know, up the ranks. I started working there when I was 16 on the cloakroom, I think, and then, you know, glass collector, barman, deputy manager.
When you work in the management or even on the cloakroom or glass collector, do you ever kind of like, is it a good position to be in to attract the opposite sex?
Well, I did a lot better then than I do now.
Really?
Put it that way. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, what's the attraction though? I mean, if you're on the old, you know,
free booze, probably. I don't know. I can't think of anything else.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, kind of, what's it like working in that kind of industry? But I mean, did you have to stay sober all the time? So you'd watch like men and women just get trashed or what?
I had a drink. I did have a drink. I wasn't driving because I didn't live that far away. No, you have to keep your wits about you. Yeah. As long as, unless there was nobody above me. Then obviously I would. But yeah, I used to have a gym. We used to enjoy ourselves. It wasn't really, although there was work to do, it was more of an enjoyable thing than a job, so to speak.
Yeah, and I bet you two can tell some tales, can't you, about, you are we borderline Phoenix Knights?
This isn't borderline, I'll tell you this one. It was like, I mean, I'm a passive kind of guy. It takes a lot to wind me up, but on this particular one occasion, I was up for locating the person and really punching the lights out. Yeah. And the night had finished.
Yeah.
And I'm notoriously a heavy traveller when I was DJing. I always took a lot of kit in, radio mic and decent headphones and all
heavy
that kind of stuff.
I thought you were going
to
say
it was that as well. And on this particular night, I took all the stuff down and the arrangement in the DJ booth. You have the DJ booth and you have a little room behind it which leads out onto the stage. So I put all my stuff down, put it in my bag, left the bag open and went to the toilet.
Yeah.
And as I came back, Simon, who used to work there, he said, mate, we've thrown him out. I said, what are you on about? He goes, what this fella's done. And this guy had staggered onto the stage and thrown up into my bed.
I didn't know that happened.
And it was everywhere. And I was heaving when I was trying to clean the thing out. And I needed to find this guy for peace of mind to do something to him. And that was a really bad. So, the memory's still quite fresh.
What I'm intrigued about is, how do you clean it? You can't run under a tap, can you?
That's what I had to do. And then when I got home, I literally said, the wife said, why have you put the washing machine on at like 4 o'clock in the morning? Because it's got a lot of vomit in it, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I wasn't impressed. That really, really was. Yeah. But one of the, you know, the best times that are there that I can remember, Christmas Eves were just, I mean, sometimes in the industry, in fact, if I was to look at it on a, you know, 80% of Christmas Eves that I've worked, and I've worked a lot of them, tend to be a bit, a lot of people don't go out because they tend to go home because they've got to put the family in the morning, but the view was always well attended. I mean, phenomenally
Christmas
attended.
Eve, it was a good one because it's quite far away from anywhere else. People don't want to get a taxi on Christmas Eve, so they all tend to like stay in the vicinity.
Mm. You know, and the thing is, man, I would like, you know, I do songs on Christmas Eve where I would change the words, and there was one particular one where I invited people to point at me and come out with expletives. I can't go into too much detail without actually singing a song, and if I was to sing a song, it's a good possibility
I
would be working here.
When I sang the song on Christmas Eve, took the microphone off you because I'd had a bit of a drink, and Band-Aid, Do They Know It's Christmas?
Oh, well, that's right,
I took the microphone thinking I was some sort of, you know, brilliant singer, which I'm not. And started singing the wrong words, and obviously I forgot all about that until the day after when the text and the phone call started coming through. And it was...
The funny thing is, the manager of the View Nightclub, Paul Knowles, a man of a very colourful past. I mean, I met Paul years ago in this absolute dive in a Widnes that I was working at, and they just bought this place up, and they said, oh, we're doing it up. Yeah. And for months and months, it never happened. And he said, yeah, no, we're doing it up, and we're all doing it up. I said, what do you mean? He said, the arrangement is we've been given something like $1,000 to decorate the place, and everyone who decorates it will get as much beer as they want, and will supply chips.
Right.
And this is it. And basically, it was just unbelievable.
That's a good business plan, I like that.
It was a mess. It's like I'd created Roy's Surf Shack for this kind of like, you know, beachcomber feel. And I'd done it, but you've got to bear in mind that I was doing this thing. And there was no wood supply. I just got all this knackered old wood like that and started nailing it up on the wall.
Yeah.
And of course, when we opened it in the night, because I'd done this when I was under the influence of alcohol, as people are in there, and the music starts playing, the bass kicks in, my bits of wood are falling off the ceiling and you know, nearly splitting people's heads off.
Well, why a surf shack? I mean, because I've got this vision now of everyone there, all these blokes wading in for their free beer and chips, going, yeah, well, do you know what? Over here, I'm going to do a railway tunnel, and over here, I'm going to do a surf shack, and over here, we're going
and you'd be about right. It was, you know, you would probably get somebody. I mean, quite frankly, it looked awful, but you would have probably got some kind of arty type, maybe from the, you know, from the Tates, who's a big fan of the Turner Prize. Who would have said, yeah, I can see what you guys are trying to get here. It's the two needles of man's, and it was just no,
really.
But it was a great experience.
Yeah. So it opened. Were you part of the opening night? How that was?
Definitely. Yeah, the opening night.
Yeah.
And then there was just a catalogue of things after that. Right. I wouldn't want to kind of say who did this, but at the time where this pub was, there was a fountain. Yeah. And it was an ornate fountain. And one member of staff, who, for obvious reasons, will remain anonymous, thought, wouldn't it be a good idea to tip the entire contents of a box of Surf into it?
And we've all done that, though, haven't we? At people's house parties.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to give people ideas. Haven't you all done that?
This is a massive fountain. Have you got really rich friends or
something? Yeah, no, but you open up the
loo. This is a Trevi fountain, you know?
Yeah, I know. I'm just trying to relate it to people who maybe have not put a load of washing powder in a fountain. But, you know, you go to someone's house, they've got a big house party going on.
Yeah.
You open up the loo, you get the washing up liquid, you pour it in, you flush it in, watch all the bubbles come down the stairs. Haven't we all done that?
This fountain ultimately got moved from its position because it was just getting abused all the time.
So this was outside the club, wasn't it?
Yeah, pretty close to it.
Yeah.
And it's
Is
seen
it still
a lot
there
of things.
Now?
Oh, no, they moved it.
They moved it.
Right. Yeah, they moved it. Yeah. I think it's like in boxes somewhere to keep it away from the people who abused it. But I mean, the things that happened, there was loads of things that was going on in that place. And there was a barman came to join us. He was at a college. And he was a Jewish guy called Sassoon.
Yeah.
And his folks were really, really well off.
Right.
And they said, look, you know, you're going to work in our diamond, like a diamond cutting factory. But we want you to go and get like a trade, go learn chemistry. And he came up to study at the college in Widnes. And, you know, he said, well, you've got to sustain yourself while you're up there. So he got a job there in the corner house. And this went, and he loved this job because, I mean, he was working with a different class of people, if you like.
Yeah.
And he loved this job. And you know, he was introduced to wild binge drinking nights and things like that, which obviously we don't promote now. This was in the day. And there was one particular night that he really, really was, he drunk too much and he just kind of went to sleep on the couch.
Right.
So what they did, they didn't wake him up. They lifted the couch up, took it out of the pub and put it in the plaza area in the town centre near this fountain.
Right.
And of course, when he wakes up in the morning, you can imagine what it must have been like.
So let me get this right. The view is still there.
Yeah.
But it doesn't open as much as it used to.
Craig will tell you, they have a particular night which is very successful, don't they?
I've heard it's coming back. It's called Too Kinky. It's quite famous.
But it's not what you think. It's not Too Kinky. Yeah.
Well, I don't know what I've heard so far. I'm kind of imagining my best.
But basically, it's a dance night, and they'd have a different theme every month. And one month it may be like saints and sinners. And if you come up, people will come up dressed in that. A dad's night.
What did you
dance?
Say? Oh, sorry, mate. Like, well, see, there you go. That's a communication barrier from a southerner talking to two scousers or woollybacks. All right, continue. Yeah.
Yeah. Halfway through, they'd all do ballroom dancing.
Where am I? Yeah.
No, and they'd have various different... The masquerade, and you'd wear a mask, all different things. And that ran for 10 years. Now, I've seen on Facebook, I don't know whether this is true, someone invited me to join the group.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't like Facebook, do you?
No, I love it. It's great.
Oh, right.
I'm addicted. It's bad. Bad news, yeah.
And I've seen that it's coming back, but I don't know if it is. I hope it is, because it was very good.
Yeah.
That was a very successful night. But I mean, I actually worked, and maybe there's a trend here, on two of the most unsuccessful nights. One of which was when they'd booked Shawadi Wadi to play. And
dug him up.
I don't know. Let's just say there was some dispute over payments.
Yeah.
So consequently, Shawadi Wadi didn't turn up.
Right.
And, you know, they couldn't get the word out in time. However, only eight people turned up, seven of which weren't really interested in Shawadi Wadi, but one guy was, who turned up in the teddy boy suit and everything. God. And he was sat in his home for ages, and eventually he came over and he said, have you got any Shawadi Wadi? So, no, I've never heard of him. So I did that one. And then the other one that I wasn't there was the... You might have been there for this one. I didn't do it. The I Am the One and Only Geezer.
Chesney Hawks. Live in Frodsham.
I was supposed to pick him up from the airport.
This is a great story. Hang on, stop. This is City Talk 105.9. It's the voice of Liverpool. It's Bloke Talk. This has got the makings, because I've got this mental picture now of Chesney Hawks, the one-hit wonder.
Yeah.
The one and only, early 90s, 93, 94, around that, 91, I don't know, around that time, who was going to go and do an appearance at a nightclub in Frodsham. Let's start at the very beginning. You were going to pick him up from the airport.
Yeah, I was going
to. Genius, let's go.
I was going to pick him up from the airport.
Which airport? John Lennon?
Or
Manchester?
It was John Lennon.
Yeah. And the car you were driving at the time, this is all important detail.
The exquisite car I was driving was my 10-year-old Mondeo with...
Brilliant.
With a sellotape...
Mondeo, man.
With a sellotaped bumper.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And the wing mirror gaffer taped on as well?
Wing mirror? One wing mirror I had.
Right,
OK. The other one
We got
off.
The picture. So there you are in your Mondeo, bits of it falling off and sellotaped on.
Something happened to him. I didn't even pick him up. Emergency pick. Johnny, his name is a good friend of mine, actually.
Yeah.
So we met Johnny went and picked him up in his Fiesta.
Beautiful.
Even better.
It's getting better.
And not only that, because I missed the night, obviously, Johnny came round to mine the day after and he said, look at these photographs. And he wasn't on his own, and three of them, all of them were taking constantly photographs of
him. How long ago was this?
Not long ago.
A couple of years back, isn't it?
Yeah, 18 months now.
Because it wasn't well attended. I think Chesney was only paying to something like 15 people, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was supposed to get play somewhere else and something happened, so we got him a steal at the last minute.
Yeah. Not in his estimation.
All of these... How does that happen, though? Do they phone you up and go, we got this guy? Frodsham?
It's lovely.
15 quid, send us some. I mean, how does that work? Would they phone you up, or would you just come like, think, hang on a second, we can get a cheap booking here?
It was actually through Gary Marto, I think, who'd done it. He was the fella that promotes This Is Night, the two kinky we were talking about. Yeah. I think it was from him. I can't be sure, and I can't remember. But someone pulled some strings and... Yeah.
He turned up.
Got the cream of 1993.
Well, yeah. What does a one-hit wonder do for a whole 45-minute set?
Sing the same song over and over again.
No, they covered other tunes, don't they? They sing other tunes in there.
They usually have one hit wonder and then one people thought they might have heard of but can't quite remember, and then that's downhill from there.
It's funny you should mention. I know we're going on to another subject. There you mentioned Johnny. Johnny was the most amenable guy in the world, in fact, the most accommodating
this
person.
This was a promoter, yeah?
No. Johnny was just a lad who used to work in the club. But he never used to drink, and he always used to drive. This is why I could get drunk, because he'd always come and pick me up and take me home, and then at the end of the night. And
is this a Fiesta lad then?
This is Fiesta lad.
You all right, yeah.
So with this in mind, I'd been asked. There was, because you know my kind of interest in the paranormal.
Yeah, you like that.
There was a TV show which was presented by Tricia from here called Britain's Psychic Challenge. My friend was in it, and she was in the final.
Right.
And she said, "Do you want to come to the final?" And I went, but it clashed because it was the wife's birthday. So I had to go for the meal. I was having a few drinks for the wife's birthday, and I thought, "Hang on a sec, I'll ask Johnny. So Johnny, do you think you could give me a lift to this particular like fight?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Where is it?" "Oh, it's not far away. Norwich."
Not far, Norwich. And I agreed to go with him.
He said, how far is Norwich from Widnes?" He said, "A couple of hours."
I'm just trying to work them out. M1.
Yeah,
A4. M1 and on and on and on.
Yeah.
And keep going.
It took about 8 hours.
But then we dropped him off at his big fancy hotel. We had to drive all the way back. We were that tired on the way back. We pulled over on the hard shoulder because the pair of us, we were like, we're going to have to pull over.
Well, he didn't even stay for the show.
We didn't even stay for the show. By the time we got there, because he'd been to his Mrs.'s.
Yeah.
Birthday do.
It was great because I'd had a few beers.
Did you make it in time for the show then?
It was the following day. I was staying over at the hotel, you see.
Yeah.
Hours and hours it took. And we got lost and we had to ask a couple of locals, and they were local as well.
Norfolk's not a good place to get lost. Have you ever seen Deliverance?
And that's exactly that's where it
was. Well, we seen this taxi. We said, "Look, we're going nowhere. We're not finding this place here." So we never had a sat nav or anything. She said, "Taxi driver, you can't go wrong."
Never got sat nav in Norfolk.
Oh well,
no satellites.
Can't get them satellites up.
But we seen this guy, and we said, "Taxi driver," and he had these kind of the Laddie Grayson kind of specs on, with like the chain round.
Yeah.
I said, "Excuse me, could you tell us where this? I can't remember the hotel was called. Could you tell us where this hotel is?" And he looked at us and he went, "Where is that hotel then?" He said, somebody goes, "Well, what you need to do, you need to go past the Asders."
The Asders.
I said, "Well, how many are you?" "Oh, there's only one Asders." Like, that's...
Yeah. He drew us a map.
East country folk or west country folk, everything is in plural, isn't it? Yeah. It's just like, I have a theory, it's because I got double vision. I've got Specsavers down there. Anyway, go on.
And another funny thing is when we eventually found it, it was near Bernard Matthews. And we were like, we're getting a bit subdued. But what? Bernard Matthews? What? We were like, it was a high.
Get overly excited.
Yeah.
Old Bernard Matthews.
Well, was the show any good?
It was all right. The thing is, I got down there and I'd bunged Johnny 15 quid for petrol.
Of which he paid me a tenner to keep him company.
I still owe Johnny for that one,
And there's Chesney Hawkes' greatest hits playing on the cassette deck on the way back from Norfolk. Good. Let's pause. It is City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool. We're listening to Bloke Talk. I'm Duncan. Craig is to my left, and Craig is... we haven't even talked about your mobile telecommunications. Is that interesting? Should we?
I sell mobile phones, telesales. It's as exciting as you want to make it.
Great. Roy's here as well. And I'll tell you what we'll do, because you've... well, you said we could talk about this. So I think we should talk about it. A couple of weeks ago, the illustrious Fern Britton, yeah, who we all know and love. I mean, I actually quite fancy Fern. Is that
right? Oh, I do. Yeah, no, yeah, yeah. No problem with that.
She went through the mill in a very unfair fashion, I reckon, because she had a gastric band fitted.
Yeah.
And, Craig, this is something that you've had done, so we're going to find out more about that.
Yeah, I had one done 2 weeks ago.
So, what, around the same time as Fern?
She had hers two years ago. That's that was fast working for her, though. Recently. No, I had mine two weeks ago. It's not been activated yet.
Yeah. Activated?
Activated.
They have to activate it, yeah.
Oh, great. We'll come back in a few moments' time. This is Bloke Talk.
This is a man's world.
Bloke Talk with Duncan Barks. City Talk 105.9.
But it would be nothing, nothing without a woman or a girl.
It's the weekend. Hope yours is going well. This is City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool, and this is Bloke Talk. Three blokes in the studio talking about stuff. I'm Duncan. Roy's here. Craig is here as well. We're just kind of like shooting the breeze. And one of the things that we found out about Craig is that he's recently had a gastric band. What's the correct term? Inserted? Stuck in?
Fitted, I suppose.
Fitted, isn't it? Fitted. And are you sure you're happy to talk about this?
Yeah, fine.
Because I think it's quite interesting, because you tend to read about it. You know, high-profile people are your Fern Britons and your Anne Diamonds and stuff, isn't
it? Anne Diamond had one.
Yeah, she had one.
Yeah. But, you know, from a bloke's perspective, it's the first time I've actually met a bloke who's had it. Do you know many people who've had a gastric band?
I don't know anybody.
It's relatively new,
now,
isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's just the way you said it, like, you know, in the same way as, like, you know, you put a Ford Sierra in.
Well,
for
I don't
service.
Think...
I'm
I
having a
think...
gastric band fitting yeah. next week.
I mean, hearing all this stuff about Fern Britton and all the controversy that surrounded it, I don't think that there's anything wrong with it. I mean, if you've... I mean, I had to pay for it. And if you're prepared to pay for it, then, and, you know, you want to do it for the health reasons alone, it's fine.
Yeah.
Plus, a lot of people keep it private because they think it's nobody else's business. But I don't think it's anything to be ashamed of or anything like that. I've told everybody I know. I've got no problem.
I don't think there's anything to be ashamed of, and I certainly don't think there's anything wrong with it at all.
Yeah.
And I was absolutely blown away by the criticism Fern Britton got, because I became a little bit obsessed by this. Because on this radio station, we have a couple of people who do our breakfast show, you know, Dolly and Kenny.
Yeah.
And Kim, you know, Kim Hughes is lovely, but she got quite upset about Fern Britton and her gastric band. You know, my alarm is off at 6:20 in the morning, they should be ranting away, she's let women down everywhere. What's the matter with you?
Though.
What's going on? And I even went on the This Morning website, you know, the old Phil and Fern. They've got a website and they've got forums on there. And I thought, I wonder what's on the This Morning forums. And there was this vitriolic abuse you know, against Fern Britton. And then you go online, you know, you look at the Daily Mail, but you look at their forms, this woman should be removed from her job immediately. She's lied to the females of Britain. And I thought, blimey, what is going on here? And I simply could not understand it, because I suspect, like you, she paid for it. You know, it wouldn't have been done on the NHS. It was a lifestyle decision, you know, and she's like, who cares, to be honest? And why? And, you know, but there was this whole kind of like this martyrdom of, well, she was the role model for the larger lady and now we feel cheated.
Yeah.
Well, go and get one yourself.
Well,
Or do something about your lifestyle.
I mean, she was very big Fern Britton. And how long? She's 50. She must have had health complications due to her size.
I always remember there was some interview and she said, like, you know, when you have to remember that the camera puts a few pounds on. I thought, well, there must have been a hell of a lot of cameras on.
I feel your pain, Fern.
But I'm the same as you, though, Duncan. I mean, regardless of what, I think, to be honest with you, Fern Britton will not look as sexy if she does go thin.
Well,
I mean, I'm not saying
she's not
going
to go any thinner now, is she? I don't think.
No, well, I used to. I'm quite with the size. Quite fancy Fern Britton as the size that she was, and I don't know why.
Actually, the fifth time you've mentioned it.
Yeah. I think that's probably
that's a poster over there, is it? Fern?
Yeah, and I've got the mags down here. But you know, I think big is beautiful. I like larger ladies because I go for this is dreadful, and this could actually be in dangerous of becoming a very sordid conversation. But you know what? The will for comfort, not for speed, and I'd rather have an older, larger lady than some young thing who's not capable of conversation and who frankly in the morning wouldn't give you a decent breakfast. All right, you know, that's my view, and I mean that. I thought Fern was fantastic. She looks even better now, but if she goes any thinner, it's not going to work, is it?
No, I wouldn't say. I look at that, sorry Craig, I just say, you know, if somebody gave me the choice, and I'm sorry to speak in such chauvinistic terms, if somebody gave me the choice of Fern Britton or Posh Spice, I would go for Fern Britton.
I'd have Posh.
Oh, no.
What are you talking about? She'd snap.
She probably would, but it would be... Yeah.
I've just never seen that woman. I just don't do it for me.
Yeah, definitely not.
Sorry,
Craig. I've got a thing for posh bass. It's all coming out now. Well, that's all right, it's fine.
It's okay. There's only a couple of cabbies listening. I mean, what's the thing with posh spice?
I don't know. I just think she's nice.
Really? She never smiles, though. She's always got that grimace. Like, it's that it's that kind of face that she's either desperate for the loo and is holding it in. I'm doing it now. Or she kind of just, you know,
it's a webcam
just a little
here,
bit uncomfortable. But that's fine, each to their own. Why did Posh do it for you?
I don't know.
Which Spice Girl would you have gone for? If you had to take a choice then of all the Spice Girls, which one would you
have? I was about to ask some very serious questions about activating gastric bands, but we'll come back to those in a second. Since you ask, well, it's difficult. That's a very good question. That's a good pub question, isn't it? Posh is out of the... I mean, I wouldn't even be remotely interested. Mel B, I think, is mad. Frankly, not interested there. Eddie Murphy, I mean, I don't know what was going on there, but he got burned, didn't he? He got burned. Mel C, spinster of this parish, got to be a little bit careful. I like her, though. She's a bit gritty. Do you know what I mean, Mel C?
Oh, she's
not actually spinster of this parish. Can I just correct something here? But Mel C always said, I'm from Liverpool, and she's not from Liverpool.
Well, where's she from then?
She's from Widnes. She's from Ireland Street, in which she's a woolly back.
She's a woolly back.
So can I just... I need to clarify that point.
So we're down to baby Emma B., or we're down to Jerry.
You'd go for Jerry.
Oh, I love Jerry. Yeah,
I could tell.
How can you tell?
Because she was the biggest. And after you saying about your comments about Fern and the cosy woman,
that's some bad personality traits. Actually, it's part of that, but it's the fact she's a redhead.
Oh, yeah, go.
Yeah. I've moved my position on the Spice Girls.
Go on, where were you?
I was a Jerry.
Right.
Went back in the old, you know, the Union Jack.
That day.
And then she kind of went really thin and I went off her. Yeah. So I've moved on to Baby Spice.
Yeah. I mean, she does look pure Baby Spice, doesn't she?
I'm sure.
But why did you go off Jerry? Because I watched her a couple of weeks ago on Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares. Right. No, not the Nightmares, the F word.
All right.
You know, and she was on there making... What was she making? She was making something. Was it meatballs? I can't remember. It's not important. But she was on there and she was good. She was good. There's something a little bit...
You just want anyone who's going to make you nice food.
You got it. Exactly. Thing with Posh, you just get a celery stick and it wouldn't work. What about... So you're Baby Spice.
At the moment.
I'm Jerry and you're Posh.
Posh, always have been.
Yeah.
I'm a loyal Posh.
Yeah. Well, that would be interesting. So, your gastric band...
Yeah.
How does that work then? I mean, obviously it's an operation, you go under anaesthetic, but you said earlier it is yet to be activated. Now, I'm looking at you and I'm looking for a switch.
it's like an action man at the back of my head. No, it's not that. There's a little port just underneath my left rib cage. You can't see it.
Was it a QC or a Bristol cream?
It's only small.
Yeah.
Obviously no one can see that.
That's quite a small scar, isn't it?
It's all keyhole, the way they do it. There's a little port there with a tube coming off in it. It's like a sort of donut type device that goes around the top of your stomach, and they fill it with saline, which inflates the donut, which tightens the top part of the stomach. So when you eat, the top part gets filled, and you feel full quickly, and it gradually goes through.
See.
So you get fuller quicker.
Yeah,
so.
I can see that. So when is it due to be activated? In a few weeks?
4 weeks,
Yeah. And, I mean, is that a quick operation? I mean, how long did the original putting the band in there take?
Just a couple of hours. I don't even think it was a couple of hours. I think it was like 1 hour 20, something like that. I mean, I was heavily, heavily sedated. Can't remember the exact details.
Yeah.
What was it? Was this more sedated than when you were singing that song in the interview nightclub?
Yeah, that wasn't. Yeah.
Still have nightmares. You go back and what? Is it local anaesthetic or you go right under again and then they kind of
activate it? No, they just
inject
it with to do it and that does it.
Is that it?
No.
That's great, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it did hurt. It did hurt after it, but I'm all right now.
And why did you make the decision to pay for it to do it? I mean, because, you know, I believe you can go out there and there are hundreds of diets, all right? There are hundreds of experts.
Yeah,
believe there's a one-size-fits-all solution for everyone.
No, there's not.
You know, each person is different. They're a different human being. So what prompted you to think, I'm going to go and do this?
Well, I just got fed up. I'd done all sorts. I've done it and I've lost it.
Yeah.
And it's within 12 months I've started again and I just got fed up.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to change. I was looking on the internet and I just seen the advert, booked a consultation just really for curiosity. I wasn't really planning on getting it done because I thought it was a bit extreme. It wasn't until I went there and they explained it properly. I thought, right.
And was it done locally?
That was done in Manchester.
Yeah.
Bupa Spire, it's called now, through the hospital group.
Yeah.
The, But I believe the woman who the sort of consultant said they're opening one in Liverpool.
Yeah, I think they are. Yeah,
so
yeah, okay.
And since I've been on the phone to her, and since this whole Fern Britain thing's come out, she said the phone's just not stopped ringing.
That's interesting, isn't it? I find that quite fascinating.
Mm. Wow.
Well, best of luck with that, and it's good. And thank you for telling us the story. And I hope you don't mind, because I just think it's interesting, particularly from a geezer's perspective. You got any scars?
Yeah. So I do have two scars.
Yeah,
actually.
Where are they?
Mental scars.
Both in identical positions, either arm that I've got. I won't take them off and show you. The first one...
Well, I don't know if we've got time for this one, boys.
The first one, I was running, and I put my arm through a door handle.
Right, yeah.
And it stuck into me. And the second when I was DJing, and I used to DJ in this DJ booth, you had to access it by a ladder.
Right.
The ladder snapped, and I impaled myself on one of the hooks that was holding the ladder in.
Yeah. Ooh, how many stitches?
Three stitches in there. It wasn't many. I don't remember, because I remember saying, come on, I need to get back to work, because there's 50 quid on it.
Yeah.
Ever
the trooper.
I did. I went back to work and everything. Yeah. But, yeah, no, I had a few stitches in it. It wasn't... I thought... The first one, when I hit the handle, I thought I was done for.
Yeah.
Because it was it was proper, like, you know, Sam Peckinpah, you know what I mean? Oh, it was coming out like that. Yeah. Bad time. Yeah.
I've got a couple of scars.
Yeah?
I've got a scar that runs from here all the way up to here. And I got one on the other side as well. One's a real butcher's scar, because the surgeon, I think, was...
How did you get them?
Partially sighted or Polish. The other side, it was a really neat scar.
Right.
Well, because I busted both my hips. But, you know, I'm not going to go into the detail, but they're great scars.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are good scars.
Do you ever feel like...
It's always
good
to have a good scar.
Do you ever say, if any woman...
Two pints of Guinness and the trousers will be off, it'll be, look at my scars.
I'm just glad there's no beer in here then, Duncan, really. I'm just saying, do you ever feel the need to say, oh, yeah, it's just a little something I picked up when I was in the Falklands, you know?
I'll tell you what I do to my niece and nephew.
Yeah.
I said, what's that? What's that, Uncle Duncan? I said, shark.
Yeah, shark. That's
right.
I had to go for.
Yeah, just off the coast of the Isle of Wight.
Yeah, one of them was the age of about five, and we're in this queue outside this ice cream van. This was literally on the beach. You know, we've been all day, and there's this little Lucy, and she goes to this woman. My uncle's got shark scars, and over there is where he wrestled the shark. And was like, shark ice. So it can backfire, but yeah, I do lie quite frequently to children who don't know any better. Listen, it's Bloke Talk, and it's City Talk 105.9, The Voice of Liverpool. I'm Duncan. Craig is here, and Roy is here, and we're reaching that stage where we ought to get into the Bloke Talk questionnaire. Now, Roy, you've been on this show before, but the questionnaire has changed.
Oh, right,
Which would make sense. Otherwise, you'd be telling us the same stuff. So if you can pass that to Roy, and then I'll give you one of those. We call it the questionnaire, the standard 7 questions, which no one here has seen before. So we can just find out a bit more about the blokes in the studio. Mm. And we'll kick off with question one, which is quite obvious. What was the last film you watched, Craig?
Casino.
Which one's that?
The Casino is Joe Pesci.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it Michelle Pfeiffer? Is it? I could be wrong.
Sharon Stone.
Sharon Stone. I always get them two mixed up.
Sharon Stone, that's it.
Robert De Niro.
Yeah, good film.
No, Al Pacino. See, I don't even know the names, you know.
So
it's Robert De Niro.
It's one of my all-time favourite films, actually. I love all those sorts of films.
Yeah. What's the attraction to that film?
I don't know. I just like it, maybe. I've been to Las Vegas. Obviously, it's nothing like what Las Vegas is like now, but I like all those
sorts
of films.
It's like a kind of vibe, hasn't it?
Yeah.
What about you, Roy? What's your favourite movie?
Do you know what?
Last film you watched, rather.
I don't know. I think what you should have done, in true politician sense, you should have emailed these questions to me
before. Well, I could have done, but then I've got lame responses, wouldn't I?
I would have to say the last film that I would have watched would have been, because there's a satellite channel called Zone Horror with these really video nasties, you know, with legs being chopped off. Oh, horrible. I think
Are you sure you're telling me?
Oh, The Hills Have Eyes. Sorry, that was it. Watch The Hills Have Eyes.
Because I happen to know in the City Talk studio, you know, we have all of these TV monitors that surround us.
Yeah.
And when I've worked at talk radio stations doing the late night show or the overnight show elsewhere, these channels get tuned into something that is quite adult. And you walk at 3:30 in the morning, you see lots of big German men doing things. Are you sure that doesn't happen here?
No.
You wouldn't like to comment.
Thankfully, yeah. I can certainly think of some people who'd appreciate big German men on the phone, but we won't go into that at the moment.
Question two, how would you describe yourself politically? Go on then.
Politically?
Yeah.
Well,
you're apathetic.
I'm probably moving a little bit left of centre at the moment, but not severely.
Yeah,
a little bit, because I feel as though
I think he's far.
There's a lot of social inequality at the moment. Duncan.
Yeah,
So I think
you're absolutely spot on. What about you, Craig?
Well,
what are you politically?
I don't think it matters now. They're all virtually the same. Yeah. Is the point I'm trying to make?
Yeah,
yeah.
They're all just little clones of one another.
I could answer it for you because when you sometimes didn't let me have my drinks quotes, I referred you as a fascist. If you want to adopt that position.
The Mussolini of Frodsham.
Yeah.
All right, question three. What's your favourite time of day and why? Craig.
Favourite time of day?
Yeah.
Lunchtime. Obvious reasons.
I like that. That's good.
Lunchtime, bedtime.
Yeah, tea time. Good man. Roy.
5 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah. Love, especially when I go on holiday. Love going at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah. Nice little bar, little bit of an aperitif or something.
Is that your first drink of the day when you're on holiday?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, you're having a bar half past nine. All right, lovely. Question number four. What could you not live without, Roy?
Blimey.
You see, the well thought out probing questions.
I mean, I'm dependent upon the internet these days and computers, so probably at this moment in time, I would have to say that.
I think so much is now. I think everything is so dependent about online stuff, from your cash point machines to the way telephone calls are delivered and stuff.
Yeah.
You can't imagine the world actually working without it now, can you?
Yeah, no.
And it'll happen one day. I believe the next terrorist attack, I have nothing to do with bombs, won't be nuclear, won't be chemical, it'll be someone that'll take out, the internet or a massive chunk of infrastructure somewhere, and the world will literally just stop working. I honestly believe
imagine the chaos of people not being able to throw sheep at each other and things like that on Facebook.
Yeah. Or solitaire. I mean, what are you going to do? You're sitting there and you're bored. It's 2:30 in the afternoon. Where's my $5?
Wouldn't mind my credit card bill getting wiped out, though. That would be the positive.
But think about it. Everything would disappear. You know, I mean, we don't need to lose human life now. If you want to be a terrorist, what you need to do is just take out a mainframe somewhere in like Wall Street and just watch the world stop. Right, Craig, what can you not live without?
My car, obvious one. Second to that, vodka.
What are you driving these days? Is it still the Mondeo?
It's still the Mondeo. Yeah, still going strong.
The bumper's still on the back.
I've got a new bumper now.
Yeah.
Spent all the money on fancy operations, you see. I can't go around buying a new car.
What about the wing mirror? You got a new one of those?
I went to the scrapyard and got a new wing mirror.
You got one off of Vauxhall. I love that. With a chrome colour. One.
Yeah. next time Chesney comes calling, it's going to be a palatial ride from the airport.
It will, yeah.
Beautiful. I mean, I love that. What can you not live about? Mondeo and vodka. That's like, you don't need anything else, do you?
Not at the same time. That would get me into lots of trouble.
That would be wrong. Question five. What would you like written on your gravestone? Craig?
I want it to be a freak accident. I don't want there to be a gravestone. If I'm going to go out, I want to go out with a bang.
Yeah.
No bits of me to left to bury. No gravestone.
What? Not in the Mondeo, I hope.
No. Well, if it's off a cliff, something spectacular. I don't just want to fall asleep and not wake up. That's the boring.
If you're going to go, you want to go with a bang.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fair enough. What about you, Roy?
Well, that's an interesting question, really, because I'm being buried at sea.
Sea? Why are you going to get why buried at sea? Is that true?
No, because it just suited the comic remark.
Just can't think of an answer. Fair enough.
Well, I think I had a good old innings, I suppose. Really, it's very boring. Now, next question, please.
All right, six. Where is the best place in the world, Roy? Go on.
New York City.
Why?
Because it's brilliant. I've been there a couple of times and I never cease to be amazed about it. The buzz, the nightlife, the atmosphere, those huge, massive skyscrapers, everything about it.
Yeah. Have you ever been on? I like New York City. I'm lucky enough to know people in the States, so it's hotels you don't have to pay for. But have you ever been to Times Square and they've got the Marriott Hotel that goes round like our city radio used to?
No.
Yeah, great, amazing. And you just like, you're there and you come out from the bar and you can't find your wife. It's actually quite a good thing. And then, you see the Empire State Building just glide by. And, and the Chrysler Building glide
Somebody's
by.
Somebody's moving it. Yeah.
It's like, who's that? Someone's moving the scenery. Ah, that's great. What about you, Craig?
Best place in the world. The best place I've ever been to is Las Vegas. I should be there now, actually.
Should you?
Yeah.
Oh.
But,
well, thank you for cancelling it for you.
But his Mondeo needs service.
The wings are broke, so I've stayed here. Yeah, Las Vegas is definitely the best place. All my friends are there at the moment. Probably having a really good time. I just love it.
Yeah,
it never sleeps.
Yeah,
but I've not been to New York, but
It's no, that's New York. That never sleeps. Yeah. Yeah. Do your Frank Sinatra sort of stuff there, man.
This also never sleeps. I'm sure Tokyo as well. That probably never sleeps.
No.
Well, in Las Vegas, they've got the casinos that they're pumping raw oxygen in, aren't they? So you're awake for 24 hours filling up the slot machines. The final question, then question 7. I feel quite bad asking this now, particularly we've been talking about gastric bands. And I mean that in the nicest possible way.
It's all right. I've still got favourites. Okay. They're still there. Memories.
Roy, we'll go with you first. What is your favourite meal? Starter, main and pudding.
Oh, can I go from a different world cuisine on this?
Yeah, go on.
I love Indian stuff. I mean, for the meal, I'm a big kind of chicken tikka masala.
Yeah, you like your curries,
like
I know that.
Kind of stuff. Yeah. Starter, I think Chinese offer some great starters and the Al Dim Sum and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. As for a pudding, fudge cake and ice cream.
Yeah, beautiful. What about you, Craig?
Starter would be, I like Indian as well. I always go for a mixed starter.
Yeah.
My main course is sweet and sour chicken. That's my favourite main. And sticky toffee pudding with custard is my favourite dessert.
And on that note, it's the end of Bloke Talk. Listen, Craig, thank you for coming in. Good to meet you.
Excellent. It's good.
Also, Roy, good to meet you as well. Thank you for coming in. I have met you, obviously, before, but you know what I mean. And that is it for Bloke Talk for this weekend here at City Talk 105.9, The Voice of Liverpool. Whatever you're doing, have a good weekend.